opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Hey, how about those Rockets last night? How many of you stayed up to watch the end of that? And how about those Cowboys? And how about it's a Friday on the Blitz?
And here we go.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying. Fun. Looking forward to the weekend.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on.
Friday.
Welcome to the greatest.
Which seat can I take?
It should be the back seat or the front seat.
Whichever.
Okay. Well,
there's a lot of back stuff talk this week.
Yeah. Hey, what's going on? It said that our that commercial leading into the show said our prostate exam is brought to you by Man Centers and someone else.
Oh, Boardroom Salon.
How did they Boardroom Salon get involved with our buttholes getting checked? And if there's a sponsorship involved, shouldn't we be seeing some of that?
It was for Movember, and we kind of tacked it on to, you know, your butt exam.
That's interesting. I feel like if my butt exam was going to be sponsored, there should be some dough coming to us for that, right, Fred?
Absolutely.
Like, you can't just say the fingers going into Fred and AJ's butts brought to you by whoever you want, and then those guys are getting paid for it, the sales guys are getting paid for it, and we're not.
Meanwhile, my butt's not getting paid?
Yeah, that's a timeout on that. I think we need to have further discussions about this. I don't get that.
And I understand the Man Centers because...
Right, they're doing it.
They're doing it, and it's going to be... It's very cool that they're doing it, and they got behind it, and as they're going to get behind us.
Yeah.
All right.
Dude, can we... We talked about the Joe McKnight story yesterday.
Yeah.
Did you see the latest on it?
Yes, I did.
How is this happening? I mean, this story. Yesterday, I thought this was a crazy story. Anytime you hear about a guy just getting shot over road rage, I always think that's crazy. I mean, but apparently, this guy who shot him went to the police and admitted he walked in with the murder weapon, admitted to doing it, and they basically said, okay, we'll see you later, and let him go. And the guy's not been charged with anything. The sheriff said that Joe McKnight was unarmed, did not have a gun. So what you can do now, apparently, is shoot somebody who doesn't have a gun, shoot somebody who's completely unarmed, and as long as you go to the police and let them know you did it, you can just walk out of there.
I've got to hope there's more to it that just hasn't come out yet.
There has to be.
That's why I'm not. I mean, I'm not going to judge this until I hear the whole thing. I mean, it sounds, because on the surface, that doesn't sound believable.
But that's what happened. Well, I mean, like I'm not saying they're never going to charge him.
I don't know. I need to see the whole police report and see exactly what they took down and what they said happened that let that guy out before I can sit here and say it's an outrage. I mean, it on the surface, yeah, it looks awful, but I just don't know. I don't know enough about it. Was he, you know, why was he threatened? Did he think he had a gun? Did all of those things would come into play for me.
Well, I mean, that when you're getting into, did you think he had a gun?
Well, if the guy's yelling at you, I'm going to pull out my gun and shoot you.
When you're the guy with the gun and you drag the guy with no gun out of his car, you like force him out of his car and then you shoot him?
Again, I need to know more about what really happened because there's a lot of conflicting reports here.
multiple witnesses, and this is the sheriff's department. This is the story that they got from him. They saw a man in an Infiniti sedan who is this gasser guy. He pulled McKnight from his Audi and shot him more than once after an argument. So he pulled Joe McKnight out of his car. They argued, and he shot him multiple times. And then he just waited around for the cops to show up. The cops show up. He hands over his gun. They questioned him, and then they let him go. And no charges have been filed. I don't know. I don't know much about the law, and there was a lawyer who was talking to me on Twitter today who was kind of trying to explain it to me. You know, he said that he says that they can only hold him a certain amount of time without charging him, and they don't want to bring charges prematurely. But, dude, if there's multiple witnesses and the guy, like, shot him and then waited for the cops to come and then gave them the gun and said, I did it, to me, that, like, I'm not a police detective, but I feel like this is one of those almost open and shut cases, right?
They're never open and shut, man. That's the thing. Just based on the pure surface of the thing, absolutely, you're right. I just think there has to be more to it than this. And that's why I'm going to wait until I see what comes out. If they let him go, and they, if it's just that simple and they let him go, that's bleeping ridiculous. I that's why I just think it can't be that simple, right? They can't be that willing to let a guy just walk.
I don't know, man. This is why, let me tell you, and there's a bunch of people out there who don't like this Black Lives Matter group, this movement. This is why Black Lives Matters exists. This is why. And if you don't like it, figure out why this is happening. Because the black man that shot Will Smith and killed him, you remember that? That was, I guess, a year ago. He's been in jail since. He's not seen freedom since. Much less the night of getting out. If you don't see an inequality, I don't know what to tell you. It is, and I'm not saying this is all race related. I don't know that the shooting was race related, but I'm telling you, when a white man shoots a black man and walks away free 12 hours later, of course there's going to be people pissed off about it. And I don't blame them one bit. I'm pissed off about it. So I don't get it, man. I hope that we get something more from this soon.
Well, that's what I think. I just need to hear more before I get pissed off about it.
All right.
This is part of the society we live in where we have to instant react to everything. I need to know more.
I need to react instantly.
I know.
It's so cold in here. It is. That's cold. My instant reaction.
But it is on the surface, it looks really bad. That's why, and maybe I shouldn't be giving him the benefit of the doubt that there's a lot more to it that we just haven't gotten yet. But yeah, it's just one of those things that I think is, it looks bad, but I you know me, I don't like to jump in here and
I understand.
Start rattling sabers until I find out everything that I need to know before I can, you know, because it's real easy to go off and then you find out there's something else going on. Like, and I don't know what it would possibly be.
I can't imagine.
But, you know, maybe the guy had threatened his life earlier or something, and they have this, maybe this was an ongoing thing. Maybe they had issues before. Happen to run into each other again. I don't know.
But, I mean,
all of that is just, I mean, it's all just pure speculation.
Let's just say that's the case. I mean, does that somehow justify what he did?
No. I mean, you're asking me to judge something without knowing what the hell's it. Yeah. So a man is dead, Fred, over nothing but a road rage argument. How can you not react? Because I don't know if it was nothing but a road. I don't know. None of us do. I just need more facts.
Not me. Would I like to know exactly what happened? Of course. But do I think that the guy shooting him and him waiting and telling the police he shot him and then giving them the weapon, would I expect that man to be in jail today, at least like until they get it figured out? I don't think that's a crazy thing to ask.
Well, my question is, why do you do that? Why do you stay there? I mean, if you shot somebody in cold blood and it was clearly a murder, why are you staying there? Why aren't you getting the hell out of there? Why are you calling the cops yourself?
I don't know. I mean, maybe. So again, those are, I would say when you kill somebody, it brings a moment of clarity to you that, oh my God, look what I've just done. And that may make you, I don't know what it does. I couldn't tell you. I've never killed anyone in cold blood, fortunately.
You know, but that might be a good weekend plan for you. Go out and kill somebody.
No,
so
I don't.
I've
already got plans this weekend. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, see, I didn't even know it was a white guy until you mentioned it.
You didn't know that?
No.
Oh. Well, it was. Which here's the other thing I don't understand. How Joe McKnight's a 28-year-old professional athlete. Why are you letting a 50-year-old man yank you out of your car? I mean, and good for Joe McKnight for not whooping his ass for doing that. But maybe that would, in hindsight, maybe that would have been the best thing. It's crazy.
Yeah, you never know what's happening in the moment of these things either, how you're going to react.
No.
Man, if somebody pulls me out of a car, they better be damn strong, for one thing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, this is a 50-year-old guy pulling Joe McKnight is no chump. That's a strong man.
He's 200 pounds, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not an easy guy to pull out.
Well, and he's not like, you know, there's 200-pound guys like, you know, that are just guys. Like,
well, if you're 6'7".
Will, the guy that produces over there for Sean and Bunin, he's probably 200 pounds. You could probably yank him out of a car a lot easier than you can Joe McKnight, a guy who spends every day in the weight room and is, you know, a professional athlete. I don't know. It just seems like a crazy story to me.
Yeah, I said.
And the fact that guy is out walking around right now, to me, that might be the craziest part. Again, I don't know.
I'm just basically BSing here if I say anything because I just don't know yet.
All right.
I'm sorry. All right. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Is the Blitz.
The Blitz
on ESPN.
ESPN
97.5. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Yeah, I read about three stories on this on the break, and they're all very... Some of that stuff you were talking about is not in there, and it's in others, and there's some that they're claiming was put out on Facebook and isn't true, and so I have no clue. I'm more confused now than I was before we went to break.
The story I'm reading from is coming from Fox News, and it was after the sheriff talked to these guys. Maybe I'm wrong, but all I'm saying is it seems unlikely that if it were if the roles were reversed and Joe McKnight had shot this white dude, I don't think Joe McKnight would be home chilling out watching TV right now.
Hard to argue with that.
So, and maybe I'm just putting it too simply, and maybe I'm putting a racial spin on something where there doesn't need to be.
Well, other people are doing that. Other people are doing that, so it's not just you.
Okay,
but hey, honestly, I didn't know it was a white dude until you told me because I had only read the stories, I hadn't identified him, and I didn't see photos of him. I mean, they had his name, but yeah, and there's people disputing it. Some people saying he was in his vehicle. The report of him standing over him was allegedly from Facebook.
Yeah, I didn't read anything about him standing over him.
Yeah,
what I did read is that this is what the sheriff said, that the Ronald Gasser pulled him out of his car.
I'm not seeing the sheriff say that.
This Jefferson Parish Sheriff Newell Normand, and he also said that he's confident that Ronald Gasser isn't going anywhere. He's been completely cooperative. I guess being cooperative is enough to...
If I would get you released, I'd be really cooperative, and then my ass would be on a boat somewhere.
Yeah. But that's very crazy. It's a lot of witnesses, too. Happened at 3 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't trying to hide it.
I just wish we'd quit shooting at each other in general.
That's probably the best thing.
Yeah. Oh, well. Well, yeah, people want to weigh in on this, so... Let's let him. Mike, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Yeah, I'm with Fred on this. It just sounds too absurd if to shoot and kill someone over a quote unquote road rage incident and to walk free like that less than 12 hours. There has to be something because it's unreal, especially with everything going on nowadays. There's got to be something.
But what could be to the story?
I have no idea.
That would possibly let you think that they would have a reason to let this guy go home.
There's something. I mean, you don't just let a guy who just committed a murder, like I said, 12 hours, and just let the guy walk free. There's something. And I don't know why they haven't released any kind of detail or anything. But apparently there was another story out there that there's kind of some kind of like love triangle involved with this. There's a third party. Apparently Lance Zierlein has been fucking these two guys for like the past 5 years.
John, dump that. Are you awake?
Got to be paying attention in there, man.
You awake in there?
Yeah.
Did you not hear what was going on?
What was he talking about?
You obviously did not hear what was going on.
He was talking about Lance Zierlein has been sodomizing these two guys.
Oh, I didn't even hear that part.
You dumped it, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm reading more.
I don't think Lance Zierlein has anything to do with these guys.
I'm reading more of these quotes from the sheriff, and apparently the guy, the man that raised Joe McKnight Jr. used to work for that sheriff's office.
Well, I also saw things saying they couldn't find any proof of that. So
okay, well,
that's the thing. This is all...
Well, that's what the sheriff's... Well, that's what he's quoted as saying.
But I was looking at an AP story, and they couldn't find any proof of that. So try Brett, and then...
Hey, Brett.
Hey, man. Hey, guys. I watched that press conference earlier today. Just wanted to weigh in from what I heard. The shell casings from the shooter were actually found in his own car. So the shots were fired from inside of his car. That's just another interesting fact that just makes the story even stranger.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. There's reports of that. There's reports that he pulled him out. That's why, I mean, getting outraged over it without knowing what all really happened is kind of hard. I mean,
I guess so. And like I said, you know, I said this the other day, there was a whole other road rage incident where a guy was sitting in his car and some dude started bashing his window in with a bat and he shot him. And I think that was completely justified.
Oh, yeah, I would do that. You come after my car with a bat, you're getting shot.
I mean, Joe McKnight didn't have a weapon in his hands. It's crazy that they can't nail this down and tell us what happened. That we're seeing different reports from different police departments.
The odd part is that he's already free.
That's the craziest thing. Whatever the circumstances behind it, I would think they'd hold him until they got it figured out, right?
Yeah, you would think so. But I'm sure there's legal issues and whatnot.
I guess so.
I don't know, man. I'm curious to find out what really happened.
Dude, I need to know what's going on here. This is craziness.
And, John, apparently you did not get it dumped. So...
I don't know if John's listening to the show.
Yeah, I am just reading all these stories about him.
Yeah, you're missing out on the show by all this reading. You let us do the reading. We're the readers in here.
I was trying to read on the break and try to catch up as much as I can, but oh well. 713-780-ESPN. I think it's one of those things that by Monday we're going to know a lot more about this.
I hope so.
At least I hope we do. All right. You know what? I should have known. I recognize that dude's voice. He's tried that before. I've got it memorized now. I've got it locked in. He's not going to get away with that again. He might.
He probably will.
He probably will because I'll be pulling a Jong one day and not really listening.
But hopefully Jong's paying attention.
But he actually did a good job with it because he had a really good take and was making sense and then just veered off into sodomizing people.
Yeah.
You want to do another call on this or no? It's up to
you. Yeah.
Tim.
Hey, Timmy.
Hey, guys. I agree with Fred on this. I think there's too much jump to conclusions when it comes to these cases. We do the same thing with officer-involved shootings where it involves a white officer and a black kid or something. We just need to wait on the facts because, I mean, it will just get people thinking all the wrong things and people be going in 1,000 different directions.
Okay,
I just
Tim.
Don't think it's good.
Tim, let me ask you this, and I get what you're saying, wait on the facts. But when a guy admits to shooting another guy, don't you hold on to that guy while you figure out what the facts are? You can't tell me that's odd that the guy is just free walking home right now.
No, it's odd. I'm going to admit that it's odd, but I just don't, like I said, I agree with Fred. I just don't have enough facts to even draw a conclusion on it right now. I would like to hear more about why he wasn't being held. I'm sure there's got to be a lot more to it. It just can't be. It's hard for me to believe this can be this simple.
Let me ask you a question.
A guy can just walk in and say, get shot somebody and just leave.
Let me ask you a question,
Tim. I can't believe that.
Let me ask you something. Well, that's what happened. So, I mean, whether you believe it or not, that's what happened. That's exactly what happened. But let me ask you this. If it were the other way around and a young black kid, Joe McKnight, shot an old white man and waited for the cops, you think Joe McKnight would be at his house right now?
Well, speaking from my perspective, I admit there's probably disparity there. I'm pretty sure that guy will be arrested.
Okay.
Pretty sure he'll be held.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
That's what's frustrating to me. And by the way, I think if a black guy kills a white guy, if a white guy kills a black guy, if a purple guy kills a green guy, the guy who killed somebody should be held in a cell until they get it figured out.
Well, I know you can't hold people indefinitely. I don't pretend to know enough about the law, but
Will Smith has been in jail since April.
Yeah, but can't you charge him with a lesser charge while you're investigating the other stuff and hold him on that, like discharging a gun in public, for instance? I don't know. Lawyers, we have lawyer listeners. They'll tell me.
And I guess the whole thing is this stand your ground thing is what they're talking about, which is the same way that George Zimmerman got away with killing somebody, which. Don't get me started on what stand your ground is when people don't have guns. I mean, standing your ground against someone without a gun when you have a gun, that's chicken bleep to me. That's not standing your ground. That's being a coward. You don't stand your ground like that.
I think that's way too general. I mean, what if you're...
Holding Skittles?
No, you're turning this into that again already, and I'm not ready to do that until I see more. But there are instances where you can feel like your life is threatened and use a gun to protect yourself. And in this state, that's perfectly legal, too. If you think your life or your property is being threatened, and being threatened doesn't necessarily mean the guy has a gun. If you come at me with a chainsaw and I've got a gun, I'm going to shoot you. If you bash my window in with a bat, I'm going to shoot you.
What if I come up and start arguing with you?
You, I'd probably shoot.
Anybody. What if principle? Anybody comes up and starts arguing with you? You don't shoot them.
Don't worry about it. No, of course not. So.
I feel, again,
that's the thing. We're getting all these differing stories here. And I think jumping to conclusions without knowing it all is irresponsible.
I am a big believer in the right to carry, and I carry. I believe if you can handle doing that, I believe you should. I think scared people with guns is the worst thing that can be. If you're scared of people, like you walk around in fear, you walk around nervous that everybody's out to get you, and you got a gun, I don't like that. I don't like that one bit, because everybody feels tough when they've got a gun. You know, it doesn't make you tough.
There was a story, and this is kind of a different thing, but this is why, to me, it's dangerous to... You can have bad situations come up just because somebody's trying to protect themselves. And I don't remember how old I was when this happened, but I was working at the paper at the time, and there was a guy who was visiting here from Ireland or something who got ridiculously drunk and wandered into a guy's backyard and didn't know where he was, and he's banging on the door. And the guy's got little kids in the house and shoots him.
And for knocking on the door?
At 2 a.m. in a neighborhood, and a guy's out there bashing on your window. I could see where you might think this guy's trying to break in and hurt your family. The way the story was phrased. He wasn't. He was just drunk. But I'm sure the guy who shot him felt just as bad in the end because it was just a drunk guy. But the reality is...
You think that, but then some people don't. You think George Zimmerman feels bad?
No, but he's a horrible human being. Let's not, you know... But my point is, you can have a situation arise like that that is just a stupid misunderstanding. I'm not saying that this is that either, but I just think it's irresponsible to get to start making assumptions until we actually find out what the hell is going on.
All right,
that's all.
Well, I won't assume anymore, but I do think I will say this: I don't understand what the hell is going on. That somebody can be shot, I don't care what the circumstance, that person can be walking around you know, 6 hours later before we figure out exactly what happened. And there's still all these conflicting news reports. That's enough reason to me to be holding on to the guy until it gets figured out. I mean, listen, I'm not saying maybe something could have happened. I don't know what could have happened. Maybe there is a reason why, a justifiable reason. It seems unlikely when the other guy's unarmed. It seems unlikely because that's the thing. I mean, if someone's armed and someone's unarmed, it's the responsibility of the armed person not to let it get out of hand. But if whatever the case, I just can't see a scenario where this guy is walking around home right now. Maybe he's free eventually, but today, right now, it doesn't make a bit of sense to me.
That's fair, but I think the rest of it, I think we kind of have a responsibility too, to not just go make wild assumptions.
Okay.
I mean, that's the thing.
But we do have a responsibility to question things when it seems out of whack.
Absolutely.
And that seems crazy.
That part in particular seems very, very odd. And I would like to hear the explanation for it, and I'd like to see what plays out. But I think that's one of those things that I think is just a real problem, is automatically assuming the worst right off the bat without knowing all the facts.
Yeah.
That's all. That's my point.
Dustin says, some dude starts banging on my back door at 2 a.m. drunk. First thing I'm doing is grabbing my gun. I'm not saying I wouldn't either, but I'm figuring out what's happening before I start shooting bullets through the door. I mean, that's being a responsible gun owner. You don't just shoot bullets when someone's knocking on your door.
It's also easy to say, but in the moment, you don't know. I mean, if you think that guy's really trying to break in and you got your kids in that house and the dogs are going nuts and you just woke up, I mean, there's a lot of things that play into that.
Then you know what you do? You stand about 10 feet from the door. And if he comes in the door, he comes in the window, that's a different scenario. Then you shoot him. And if you can't handle that scenario, you shouldn't have a gun. Then you're being it's a scared person with a gun, and that's what gets people killed. Well, people that don't need to be killed.
You know, it's also scary when there's somebody trying to get into your house at 2 in the morning.
You're assuming they're trying to get in your house.
Well, if they're banging on the window, yeah.
Like you said, they're drunk.
How do I know that? How do I know he doesn't have a gun?
You don't.
And he's going to pull it on me as soon as he sees it.
So as soon as that window breaks and he's in your house, what do? You shoot him. Then I won't have a problem with it.
If it's dark and you can't tell if he's got a gun, you're going to sit there and wait.
Turn a light on.
Okay. Then you're going to be in the light and he's going to be in the dark. That's going to make it worse.
You got a porch light at your house?
I don't have a porch. I've got a balcony.
Okay.
They can't break into my place. I'm 21 floors up. I don't have to worry about it.
I'm just saying. I don't know what all these people are scared.
I think it's easy to judge without being in a situation like that. And, you know, I just think I think it's unfortunate that we have a lot of situations like that. But I'm guaranteed if somebody's breaking into my house.
If someone's breaking into my house, I'm not fine shooting them.
All right, so, fine line between somebody who's trying to bang the window in to break in and a guy was breaking into your house.
Well, you just said it. The guy wasn't trying to break in. He was drunk.
Well, no, he was trying to get in the window. He was bashing on the window to try and get in because he thought that was his place.
Someone bashes the window and actually breaks the window and comes into my house. Okay.
But it's okay if he's just hammering on the window and doesn't break it.
Yeah. Okay, You know what you do then, Fred? You call the cops. You don't just go around shooting people willy-nilly.
That's not willy-nilly.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Someone's on your porch banging on your window?
At 2 in the morning.
Dude, that's the problem. People are scared.
Well, they should be scared.
No, they shouldn't.
Have you been robbed before?
If you got a gun, you shouldn't be scared.
Have you been robbed before?
No.
Has no one ever broken into your house? Have they broken into
my car.
But have they broken into your house and stole stuff out of your kids' room?
What? You should have shot them then.
Well, I wasn't there. If I had been, they'd be dead.
I mean, get an alarm system. Do something.
Had an alarm system.
Shooting people because they're banging on the door or banging on the window?
You're oversimplifying what I'm saying. The guy was trying to break into the house. He hadn't broken in yet because he hadn't broken the window.
How do you know?
Because.
You didn't ask any questions. He got shot dead.
He thought he was where he was supposed to be. He thought he was in the house he was supposed to be in, and they had just locked him out. That's what happened.
Then as soon as he gets in, you shoot him.
You're applying trained logic to something. I mean, that's in that situation, it's really hard to just say, oh, yeah, well, that's what I'll do. I'll turn on the light. I'll wait for this. Man, if you really think you're somebody's trying to get into your house with your children, it's not that easy to react like that. Sorry.
Well, I mean, I think differently than other people, I guess. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe people who have guns should be trained with them and not just be scared. It's not a shield.
Now, was it somebody brought up that basketball player who was trying to break into the wrong apartment that happened fairly recently?
I feel like I remember that, too.
Yeah.
And listen, I'm not going to – if somebody gets into that house, I don't feel bad for them one bit. But let me tell you this. What's going to happen one day is – I mean, let's say you've got a house and someone's banging on your window trying to get in at 2 in the morning. You shoot him, and then it turns out it's your son, and he's drunk, and his cell phone's dead, and he's trying to get into your place. That's when it's a problem.
Boy, that's a long leap of logic.
Is it?
Yeah.
So it's less logical to think that could have been a buddy, somebody trying to get your attention. We automatically assume somebody's banging on the door. It's a bad guy.
If you don't recognize them, I mean, this is a totally different situation. You're not going to recognize those people?
I don't know. You're saying don't even wait to look at them.
No,
you're saying
that. See, again, you're just making stuff up now. I never said that.
You said if someone's banging on your window trying to break in, you shoot them.
No, that is not.
Are you interviewing him before you shoot him? You left that part out.
You're not going to be able to see him. If you can see who they are, you're not going to be able to recognize them. So that's just
You just said you couldn't see him.
No, I said it's dark. It's dark.
What do you got? Superpowers? Seeing him in the dark?
No. What do you? You're just making crap up.
I'm
now.
Not. I'm asking you to explain it, and you're just saying I'm making things up.
No, what I'm explaining to you is you're way oversimplifying everything I've said. This is just silly. We're way over a break for this, too, for the dumbest conversation we've ever had. There's some great stuff to talk about, and we've just spent 36 minutes talking about something that we don't know a GD thing about.
Oh, so, yeah, we shouldn't even discuss it. You're right.
No.
Let's just pretend like it's not happening. That's the way to go.
I think it's fair to bring it up, but I also think you might want to, let's be responsible about this. Let's find out what happened before we start judging.
I didn't say what was happening. All I said was I think it's crazy that a guy shot somebody and is walking around. I don't know the circumstances. I don't know exactly what went down. But regardless of what they are, I think it's crazy that he's walking around free right now.
I agree with that. But the other stuff about him being pulled out of the car and things like that, we're getting conflicting stories here. Might want to find out what they are first. That's all. What were we supposed to do here? Oh, okay. Well, mainly because I don't worry about people breaking in. I sleep like a baby. Actually, I sleep like a baby because my mattress from Texas Mattress Makers, and they're making it very easy for you to say no to the hustle and bustle of the holidays. You want a great gift? How about a mattress? How about if you need a new mattress, go get one, and you're going to have plenty of money left over for a gift? Because guess what? You're going to save 50% off of what you would pay for if you went to a retail store. And you can get a made bed just for you and your body type, still have plenty of money left for the holidays. Save on incredibly low prices. It beat any retailer that gets you a custom-fitted bed. Go visit them, Texas Mattress Makers, 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood. They build the beds right there. They sell them directly to you. And not only that, they do great things in the community. The Texas Mattress Makers Secret Santa Toy Drive is underway. Make sure the kids in need wake up to presents under the tree. Drop off new and unwrapped toys from now until December 21st. That's Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price guaranteed.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
It's just one of those days where you don't want to wake up. Everything is. Everybody sucks.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. I would clarify, I'd rather beat your ass with a bat or pepper spray you than shoot you any day, though. Because I have no interest in killing anybody.
I mean, that's the first move. I think the problem is people are looking at guns like a first resort. That's what it shouldn't be.
That's fair. I mean, I think that's been a problem for a while. But I have them. I don't ever plan on pointing them at somebody. I'm going to try to do everything else first, but if I don't have a choice, yeah. 713-780-ESPN. All right, where you want to go with this now?
Well, we can go. There was a football game last night.
I miss that one.
There was a basketball game last night.
I missed that one. I was just reading stories about guys getting released from jail.
Oh, well, I was able to do both.
That Rockets game was fun, man.
First of all, I hate double overtime.
Yeah, especially that late at night.
Yeah, like West Coast basketball, I don't need double overtime ever. But it was a good game, a really good game. So we had – and there were some wild swings in that game. It looked early like the Rockets were just going to run away from them. And then, you know, the Rockets, like they always do, they let you get back into it. And good finish. Good game for James Harden.
Yeah, that was and it's – I think the Rockets would win a series with the Warriors. No. But
no.
To be able to go in there and
win
that,
a game there?
Win a game there. That's – as far as the meaningless 82 go, that's about as good as it gets.
That's good.
Which – you know, it's still 82 games and it doesn't mean anything. But I enjoyed that one. And the football game, boy, Vegas knows its stuff, man. The it's so funny. I want to pull in a small trigger on the under, which was safe the whole way.
Yeah.
But, man, you had to be rooting against the two-point conversion there at the end because there's no way.
Yeah, I didn't want that to happen.
Yeah, there's no way that.
But I also don't
like. That was the only way you'd blow the cover.
I also don't like them not calling penalties.
That was bad. But you know. We got to get back on clock here, so we're gonna jump into a quick break. But let's get to that when we come back because that one.
The game was poorly called. All the way through both sides.
But that one in particular is egregious. What's not egregious? Meat. And if you're looking for the perfect gift for someone who has it all, how about meat? How about lots of meat? How about great meat? How about Omaha Steaks? If you're looking for the perfect gift, Omaha Steaks, for only $49.99, you can get my family gift pack when you go to omahasteaks.com and enter my code FRED in the search bar. That's 77% off. 77% off if you enter my code FRED in the search bar. And it's really cool. When you get this box and you realize how much you're actually getting for just $49.99, it's amazing. Right now, they're giving an exclusive savings just to the Blitzers. Here's what you're going to get. Everything that you're going to get for less than $50. 2 filet mignons, 2 top sirloins, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 kielbasa sausages, 4 burgers. I'm not done. 12-ounce package of all beef meatballs, 4 potatoes au gratin, 4 caramel apple tartlets, 1 Omaha steak seasoning packet, plus you're going to get 4 additional kielbasa sausages for free. And we use this package for a party. We just had a party and put it and cooked it all at once, and everybody loved it. It makes a great gift. You can do it for that. All you have to do is go to omahasteaks.com, enter my code FRED in the search bar, add the family gift pack to your cart, and get a 77% savings. It's the gift that's guaranteed to be a hit. Walking with his finger on the gun, make enough figures until my pockets get bigger.
I ain't the type of brother made for you to start testing. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to The Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. Come celebrate the Big Texas Party with ESPN 97.5, SB Nation, and 1560 and Culture Map. It's happening Tuesday, February 2nd at the Silver Street Studios. We'll have big-time athletes, celebrities, all-you-can-eat and drink, refreshing beer, succulent barbecue, and smooth bourbon. You can buy your tickets at thebigtexasparty.com for a limited time only. You can get $75 off, so get your tickets early. Get ready to celebrate the big game with Gal Media at the Big Texas Party. And a reminder, this is The Blitz with Fred Fowler, AJ Hoffman, and Jong Lee Behind the Glass, brought to you by Glass Doctor of Houston.
That's right, Fred. Call the Glass Doctor, your one-stop shop for auto, home, and business. Glass and Mirrors, 1-888-516-8133. That's 1-888-516-8133. Or go to glassdoctor.com. That's glassdoctor.com. Glass Doctor, we fix your pains.
People still wanting to talk about this. And the point I was trying to make is that situations are different. And when you're in them, it's really hard to sit there and say, this is definitely what I would do. In a perfect world, you know what? I'm not firing my gun unless I see another gun pointed at me. And by then, I'm probably already dead. But I'm going to make sure that it doesn't get anybody else in my world. But I have never been in that situation where I have to make that decision. So I don't know, man. You have. You were trained military. I'm sure you had guns pointed at you.
It's just, I mean, that's different than being in the regular world.
True.
Too.
True.
You know.
But I don't know how I'd react. I just know that I try to put myself in everybody's situation and figure out why on earth something happened. And I agree with your main point that it looks suspicious if the guy's out. But getting back to that football game. Well, the call at the end, I do want to make one thing really, really clear because, you know, Vikings, oh, we got robbed. Yes, it should have been a personal foul. But even if it was, you got to get the two-point conversion. Then you got to beat them in overtime. That didn't cost you the game. It cost you a chance to stay in the game. So
agree with that.
I think it was what bothered me about that call in particular, when they show the replay, the ref on the side is looking right at it.
Well,
he's looking right at it.
There's a ref whose job is to watch the quarterback on every play.
And you can see his eyes are right there.
And then he told Sam Bradford, no, he got you on the shoulder pad.
Yeah.
Which, okay.
This has been all year long, and there were bad calls throughout the game. And
I mean, there were holds that shouldn't have been called. Yeah. There were misholds that should have been called. It was bad.
But it's been this way all year. Every single game, the officiating has been C-minus has been the high, in my opinion. The high game has been a C-minus. I think it's frustrating as hell, man. The reality is games are being decided by this.
That's not a good thing.
No.
But that's what's happening.
It is.
And whether or not, I mean, even if that game were a 16-point game and they scored a trash time touchdown and Bradford got hit and they don't call it, it doesn't matter. But like you said, it didn't mean that the Vikings would have won, but it would have given them a chance.
Yeah, it would have kept them in the game. And at least they would have had the opportunity to get the two-point conversion, which, boy, they were stepping on their own cranks, too, getting a false start on a
And honestly, on the last play, they could have called another false start there.
Yeah, they could have.
Because the left tackle moved early again.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It just seems like a play that decides whether or not a game goes to overtime.
Well, if they'd done it right, yeah, it would have been a false start, and there still would have been hands in the face probably because he would have kept coming unless they'd blown the whistle in time. They still would have had a play. They still would have had a shot at a two-point conversion. So it wouldn't have ended the game.
All right. But, I mean, now you're asking them to score from the 30 or wherever, and that's probably not happening.
Well,
the Vikings offense is so bad, by the way.
They would have just backed him up to the 12. It would have been the 12-yard line for a false start. I think they were on the 7, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they backed up once already. Hey, but I'm going to talk about these guys later in the show, but right now at Fairbanks Liquor, 12622 Telge Road, a Whitmire's tasting with Chris Whitmire himself.
Oh, look at that.
Fairbanks Liquor, 12622 Telge Road.
Does Chris get wasted at those things, you think?
You know what? I did one with him once. He was very responsible. We had some, but right. He was responsible.
So he's not like tasting with everybody.
No. He's giving everybody
he's
else.
Handing out tastes.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. Well, I think we might have had one afterwards. I mean, he didn't do it while he was there. But, yeah, so go check him out. You can meet Chris Whitmire himself. And then just wanted to mention that because it's 4-7, and I don't get to talk about him today until 6:46, so that wouldn't really give you enough time to go to Fairbanks Liquor. The other thing I want to say about that game is, as good as the Cowboys have been all year, I'm impressed that they win games like that. They can win a game like that because they've been just stomping everybody. And that's kind of the mark of a really good team. You get out of there with a victory when you're not at your best, which they weren't, and the other team plays pretty well for what they are, and you still get out of there with a win. I think Cowboy fans should be pretty happy.
Absolutely,
today.
They should be. I mean, they did not look like themselves, and at the end of the day, they still get a win. And
yeah,
that's the mark of a good team. Is you can go in there and not play your best game and still walk out with a W. That's a good sign.
Yeah, and you know the Vikings continue to basically sink. I think that was their last chance to. They needed to win that game last night. Because I don't see them getting hot and winning out, which is basically what it's going to take now to make the playoffs. But the Cowboys can, I think, clinch home field next week.
Yeah. I think they've already clinched a playoff spot, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they have, but I'm pretty sure they can clinch home field throughout. Since the personal foul doesn't change the fact the play wasn't successful, not like P.I. where it impacted the success of the play, just looking for a mulligan. That's not true, because when his hands hit his face, that impacted the throw. And because when he threw that, I'm like, my God, that's the most Sam Bradford thing ever. But then you watch the replay. The reason it was the most Sam Bradford thing ever is because he had hands in his face when he was throwing the ball. So, yes, it does impact it. And that's one of those things. Sometimes just because it's the penalty that you think is like that, for instance, a lot of times holding, and you'll see a guy take off on a 30-yard run, and if they don't call it, that's impacting the play too.
Ray says, it's easy to talk about that last missed call, but how about the BS hold on the 45-yard Zeke run or the clipping on Escobar that pulled him out of field goal range and killed the drive? First of all, the clipping on Escobar, to me, was legit.
Yeah,
that's clipping.
I thought that was a good call.
I mean, it sucks when that gets called, but that's a legit call. As far as the hold on the Elliott run that got called back, I didn't think that was a hold. But I'll tell you what, in the fourth quarter, Zeke had like a 21-yard run that Terrence Williams was on the outside with basically a full body lock on his guy. Blatant hold. Zeke ran right by him. No flag. So,
and see, to me, those are game-impacting calls and non-calls.
Yep.
And that may not look like it on the surface, but the reality is, you could flip the field with those. You can change those. And that, remember how bad we were jumping on the replacement refs and then everybody quit talking about them because the other guys came back? This is just as bad. I was saying that at the time. It's like the regular refs are just as bad.
Yep.
We just haven't, nobody's talking about them because they're, the replacements. You have to talk about how bad they are. Well, I think we've seen this year, maybe everybody needs to realize that the regular guys are just as bad.
Ain't that great?
And that's the next thing. Do you take it to the next step? Do you start reviewing some of this stuff? I hate that the review process takes too long as it is. If you could get it down to where it was 30 seconds to do a review, I'd be okay with it. But
I also wanted to get it right.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't want there to be like important. Some kind of clock.
But what you don't want is to go back and like on the Zeke play you were talking about, you don't want to go back and review that and say, okay, he was holding, so now we got to back it up.
Right.
And so where do you start drawing the lines on things? And I get,
well, that's the thing. Holding is one of those calls we'll always bitch about.
Because it happens on every play.
It does, and it's a matter of if it gets seen or not.
And how it's not whether or not you're holding, it's how flagrant you are with it.
And I'll say this. There's a lot, to me, there's a lot more times I see missed holding calls than I say, oh, I can't believe they called that hold.
Yeah.
Because usually when you look at a replay, he was probably holding. But that's a tough call to make in the NFL. But they're not going to be perfect on it every time. There's no way to be.
All right, next hour, guess what we're giving away?
What are we giving away, Fred?
First Row WWE tickets.
Oh, man.
You've been waiting all week for the First Row. If you passed on your chance to be in the fifth row, just so you could be in the first, today's your day. You're going to have to hang around, though. It'll happen sometime in the 5 o'clock hour. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.